G'day punters, welcome back to the AFL Lions season 2016. Mixed results in round one, but it was a cracking weekend of footy, mate. I think we've probably discovered a few changes in game style that may impact on the statistical trends that we've gathered over the last couple of years. It seems to be played a little bit more open, a little bit more play on football, and definitely some high scoring.
Absolutely. We were a bit stiff on the weekend with GWS being one of the few teams that were unable to kick straight, which turned a potential 8-4 weekend into 6-6. One sort of point of caution on that is a few seasons over the past few years have started with high totals in warm weather and have then swung heavily against that in the winter months when things get a bit cooler. So I hope this kind of bombs along for a few weeks, and I hope people like David King on the couch keep talking about it for hours on end, and we get a few lines in the 190s in the winter, and I'll be belting into the under if that's the case.
We'll just be a little bit quiet on that front until it comes around.
Well, look, all of our eight listeners can get on that one early. We'll be on the over for a little while yet, but the trends will turn.
We love each of you.
We pretty much know each of you individually.
Let's go.
All right, come on. We're going to kick things off on Friday night at the MCG with Collingwood and Richmond. The Magpies getting a little over a goal. Total points line around the mid-180 mark.
Yeah, look, the Pies were obviously horrible last week. They didn't bring any sort of effort or intensity to the contest. Were completely outmatched in a game where I thought their midfield might have had an edge. I guess losing Dane Swan early probably put them down a rotation and put a bit of pressure on the younger brigade, but they were basically non-existent. Cloak didn't touch it. Tigers, again, undermanned, got a gutsy win against Carlton, but look, a lot's been made of Carlton's performance. You'd expect if Richmond have top four aspirations, they'd want to put together some better football than that. I like the under in this game. I think it's obviously a night game, so it ticks that box. I think the Pies will come out. I mean, if they don't respond to the way they played last week and bring some more intensity and some added work rate, particularly defensively, defensive pressure through all lines of the ground, I would be amazed, and that would probably write them off for the eight.
It's a statement game, isn't it?
Exactly right. Given that both sides are missing quality personnel, I think there'll probably be a pretty high turnover rate, which again leads towards the lower scoring, and plenty of room under a one at mid-180s line, so I'm happy to play under that.
I've got the inverse here. I've taken Richmond minus and the over.
The boys head-to-head, first time this year, look out.
Absolutely. Seven of the last 11 between these sides have gone 200-plus, including the last couple. Early season trends are to the over, even in night games, particularly at the MCG. Both these sides in games at the MCG early season, when the line's small, they go heavy to the over. Collingwood, I don't like as a small underdog. That's a bad spot for them. And you're right, it's a statement game for Collingwood. It is equally a statement game for Richmond, because if they nearly dropped to Carlton and they dropped to Collingwood on the back of last week, they've got their own problems. And I'm unconvinced by Collingwood. I wasn't terribly convinced going into the season.
Yep.
It was pretty warm on Sydney Minus last week, and that one got chalked up pretty quickly. Happy to butter up and take on the Pies again.
Yeah.
We move on to Saturday afternoon, and it's the showdown at Adelaide Oval between the Crows and the Power. Crows getting about goal and a half start. Total points line open in the low to mid 190s, now pushing 200.
Yeah, it's a massive line, isn't it? But look, I guess that, and I'm sure you've got some numbers there that'll back that up, but the showdowns are generally pretty high scoring affairs. They do put on a good show for the supporters. There'll be a packed house there. I tend to favour the home team in the showdowns. I think, particularly in the Adelaide Oval era, that the wave of support they get by having them,
the way the tickets are allocated and all the rest of it.
Exactly right. And that will be that will definitely give an advantage, particularly later in the game. But whether that's conducive to high scoring, I mean, they both played pretty good games of football last week. They look strong at the contested football. Arguable to say who had the easier run last week. You probably have to give that to Port, so that the lines feel about right. And as I said, the 200, there's a lot of room underneath that. But day game at the Adelaide Oval, there's always lots of points scored. So you could, you know, wouldn't surprise me if this is 25 goals beats 22 goals or something in that sort of wheelhouse. But Probably enough doubt for me to sit this one out.
Absolutely. Three of the last four between these two sides have crossed 200, as have six of the last eight. Both sides trend really heavily to the over in day rounds, particularly in day matches, particularly in the early rounds. Gee, if this line was a goal lower, I would still be in on the over, but 200, I can't.
It's like that.
It's like folding a big hand. I've got a monster here. I'm gonna have to lay it down.
The 200's good. It's that psychological barrier.
Yeah, it doesn't take much. It only takes one quarter of them stuffing about with it to burn the thing entirely.
A fluky breeze blows you up. Like there's so many variables.
Yeah, with a gun to my head, I'd still be on the over, but not enough here for me to have a play. Speaking of not having a play, we're at the MCG an hour later for Essendon and Melbourne. About seven goals for the Bombers, mid-170s total. Any thoughts?
Yeah, look, I'm going to bet into Essendon again, as I said last week. Against Essendon, any line under 12 goals, I think, is going to be enticing no matter where the game is played. The big thing I took out of last week, apart from the fact the Dons are obviously outmanned, Their top-up players did okay, but they're a step off the pace. Guys like Crowley and the younger element, Simpkin as well, of those top-up players, who I thought would actually make a real go of it, look really out of their depth. But I guess Crowley's had 18 months out of football, so you could probably make an excuse for him there. I think the area that I noticed where the Dons really lacked was in the key defensive post. You saw Tom Lynch took umpteen marks, could have kicked a real big bag if he was a little bit more accurate. So, given Hogan had a really tough day, I mean, he got the job done in the fourth quarter, but had a tough day against Phil Davis, who played him really well. I think he could really have a day out and kick, you know, six or seven or eight or eight plus.
Yeah.
I've been searching around for a market for most goals for the week. I haven't located one yet through the four or five bookmakers I looked at, but if you can find $5 or $6 about Jesse Hogan to kick the most goals this week, I'd put plenty on that. But I'm going to bet into the Dons.
Well, I wonder whether there would be. I mean, there's so many given markets on any individual game that often they'll bet either first goal scorer or most goal scorer or how many will Hogan kick.
Yeah,
there'd be every chance you could find something along those same sort of lines.
Something will come up between now and game day, without a doubt.
Yeah.
I'm looking for
If you can find something on Hogan to kick a bag. Yeah, I'm a bit the same. I couldn't step in here, but I'm not sure that last week was a glowing reflection on the Gold Coast. It was more an indictment on where Essendon are at and the sort of season they're going to have. Gary Ablett aside, I'm not sure that Gold Coast should get terribly excited about what happened last week. Yeah, no play for me, not even close. We moved to the third of the Saturday afternoon games and we're at the Gabba for Brisbane and North Melbourne. The Lions getting about four goals, total points line hovering around the 190 mark.
Yeah, I didn't find a bet in this game. North Melbourne did well to pull out of the fire last week, didn't quite cover the jerks, but well, Brizzy kicked 100 points against West Coast last week over there, which is a massive deal for them. They wouldn't have kicked 100 points for three times last year.
Nah.
So that's a really good sign for them as a football club. We know that they're traditionally about a five-goal better side at home than they are anywhere else.
Yep.
It's going to be hot up there still. It's going to be probably pretty humid. So whether North can adjust to those conditions, if I had to make a play, I'd probably take the handicap and hope for the Lions to really push North to their limits. But North are a quality outfit, as they showed last week. North Melbourne of last year or the year before wouldn't have won that game in the position they are in.
Yep.
So that's a good sign for them that they've got the right attitude to grind games out. So no play for me here, mate.
Yeah, I couldn't find one either. Recent head-to-head history goes really strongly to the home teams in this Brisbane-North Melbourne fixture, with the exception of last year where North broke the trend and won by 12 goals up at the Gabba.
Yeah.
Both sides trend a little to the under in Brisbane as the home dog, North as a road favourite, but after last week, and particularly the way Brisbane played than the way North played, because I think North was to be expected, but the way Brizzy went about it, it feels like a lot of space under 190, but if they play an expansive style again and get burnt at the other end a few times... Mm. Maybe there's not that much space there, so an easy lay down for me.
It will be interesting. It will be interesting watching, because last few years, these are the sorts of games that North Melbourne have lost. Inexplicably.
It's your Essendon theory from last week.
Yeah, exactly.
They're going to drop a game somewhere to someone they shouldn't.
Yeah, absolutely. And whether that happens now or down the track, I mean, all teams drop games they shouldn't lose. Yep. But North just seem to lose games that they should win by 10 goals every now and again. Yep. So I'll be interested to see how they what sort of performance they bring out this week.
Absolutely. So we move to the first of the Saturday night games, and it's a twilight game Perth time. We're over at Subiaco for Fremantle and the Gold Coast. Dockers laying a little under 6 goals. Total points line, low 170s.
Yeah, it's strange. A side that kicked 38 points last week is starting 6-goal favourites. I wouldn't think Sandilands would make that much difference. I'm not enthusiastic about this game in any way, shape or form. Look, there's we've always sort of felt that Fremantle anywhere are probably an unders team. As you just said then a moment ago, you know, Gold Coast beat up on an understrength Essendon side, but what can you really take out of that? Perth probably do deserve to be favourites, but as I said, look, it's remarkable that they would start so long. Whether there's anything in that you'd think they'd have to bounce back. I'm really confused by this game, and if you go back through, I'm not sure if we've got the audio available, do we? No, we don't. Every time I've been confused and I've made a bet, I reckon I've done my ass. So I'm gonna just stop talking right now, basically.
I've got one here. I'm gonna be with Freo. I'm gonna be with Freo at the minus. Yep.
Oh, here we go. I'd like to hear your rationale.
I'm a bit filthy that I wasn't with West Coast at the minus last week. I love both the WA sides. Favourites of 5 goals or more. Between them, they're 25-6.
Yeah, okay.
Against the spread over the last four seasons. Last time they played over at Subi, Freo won by 8 goals. Freo, really good position here. And you talk about a statement game for Collingwood. This is a statement game for Freo.
Yeah.
If they don't belt up a bad side, and they're good at doing that,
I struggle to see where their score is going to come from after the way they played last week. Like,
I think they'll kick enough. I'm not convinced it'll be a terribly high-scoring game. I could see 100-50 style thing. I think they've got to play with intensity. Ross Lyon was scathing about their intensity.
Yeah, they were horrible.
I'll be really surprised if they don't win the first quarter by at least 2 or 3 goals.
Didn't see a lot of the Collingwood game, in all honesty, but Fremantle's effort on the weekend was as poor as I've seen from any side in the last 5 years.
Yep.
They didn't want to be there. It was lackluster, doesn't do it justice. It was disgusting. But whether or not that's intrinsic in their group at the moment, I don't know. That remains to be seen.
It'd be very bizarre for a round one contest. I think it's the Freo will be stinging probably more than anyone, possibly even Collingwood. Gold Coast are probably, maybe along with Bulldogs, on as good a terms as with themselves as anyone coming out of round one.
Yeah, fair enough.
I'm not convinced they beat much. I'm not convinced they're actually that good.
Yeah.
And I think if Freo don't belt them in this game, I think there's genuine questions about whether a Freo are a top eight side.
Absolutely, agreed.
And I'm sticking with the fact that occasionally they put in a stinker interstate. They did that last week. I would expect them to make a statement and make a statement early. I would think they'd be well in front at quarter time. If they're not, they're actually in huge trouble.
Okay.
But I'm happy to play that and Freo at the minus on that basis.
Sure.
Second of the Saturday night games, this will be a fantastic game to watch. The Docklands at Etihad Stadium for St Kilda and the Western Bulldogs. Saints getting about 4.5 goals, total points line mid 180s.
Yeah, look, St Kilda were impressive last week. Probably a little bit disappointing to go down in the end. They probably would have given themselves a red hot chance to pinch that game.
Tell you what, the line was 38.5, I say. Imagine having the plus.
Yeah.
Nearly got rolled right at the death, which would have been one of the all-time bad beats.
Yeah, yeah.
To lead outright for most of the game and not cover 38.5. And they were one kick away from getting screwed there.
And that sort of fade out will come, young group, as they develop. But geez, the Dogs were so good last week. I mean, we've said, yes, we've made the point of Freo's lack of intensity, but I think they were made to look as pedestrian as they were.
They got ambushed.
By the fact that the Dogs were just so red hot at every contest every section of the ground. They just wanted it so much. And I think that's something that has been building for a time, and we've seen it really manifest under Luke Beveridge, who's given them a way to be what they want to be.
Yep.
And they've just got so many really talented mid-sized players who can play so many different positions. They're a really, really well-balanced unit. I mean, they didn't really even take in a ruckman on the weekend. No. I mean, Jordan Roughead is serviceable, but he's played centre-half back pretty much his whole career. So they get their centre-half forward and their centre-half back just pop up in the ruck and then just play smalls around them. They're loving it. So, look, at Eddie Had again, that's their stomping ground. As much as it's St Kilda's, I think the Dogs will pants them this week, and I am happily taking the minus.
No bet here for me. I got closer on the back of last week's form alone. I think you'd have to be with the Dogs. A little nervous that last year St Kilda played them close a couple of times, and was actually on an initial glance pretty warm on the over as well, but. The more you dig into the record of these two sides, the Dogs haven't been beating them the way they should on face value last year, and they probably haven't scored as freely as you might expect in the recent head-to-heads, particularly last season. And that was just enough to throw me out, because I think if I had to lean, I'd lean over and I'd lean Dogs minus.
And I think a lot of that comes down, obviously, to the mindset of the teams. And you want to... Football is about comparisons. You always get measured against whatever yardsticks there are. And you can't expect teams on the rise to be measured against the teams that have been at the top for such a long period of time and draw accurate comparisons. So the only real yardstick these teams, and they're pretty similar stages of their development if we look at the list profiles and all those bits and pieces. St Kilda would get up for games against the Footscray because they see... them as the yardstick of their section of the competition.
Yeah.
And they are that would be a real driving force because they get measured against them in so many different categories.
But whereas Footscray now, having made the finals last year, are starting to look at the bigger fish and aimed up last week against Freo.
And I think the Western Bulldogs have taken that step into the next level of comparison, for want of a better word. And I think St Kilda still like fit a bit behind them. Whereas last year, St Kilda had that look into them. And now I think that's probably just a bridge too far. I guess in response to your rationale there. But it remains to be seen, obviously. But my feeling is that the Dogs are another level to what St Kilda can actually bring.
If the Dogs play this week the way they did last week, they'll cover and they'll cover easily.
Oh, they'd cover against anyone. They would beat any team in the comp the way they played last week.
And then the question is, against a lower side, can they back it up?
Good point. Yep.
So that's the last of the Saturday night games. On Sunday afternoon, we're in Canberra at Star Trek Oval, or Manuka Oval for us locals, for Greater Western Sydney and Geelong. The Giants getting about 2.5 goals, total points line low 180s.
I forgot this game was on this weekend. I should probably go and watch that, but I don't think I will, because we've got our season launch on Saturday night, so there's every chance I'll be on the couch watching Hawthorn get belted by West Coast, which is a conversation for about 2 minutes' time. Well, the Cats were very good last week. Against any other team, they'd probably run away with that game and win by 10, 15 goals from the position they had them early. Made the most of their chances, which helped. They just look like such a more well-balanced midfield now with Dangerfield complementing Selwood, and they play one in, one out. They've got really good quality tools. All their ruckmen can play forward. All their forwards can play ruck. Their back line is as settled as it's always been. And, I mean, you can't obviously go too nuts about one game, but they are an absolute premiership contender. We thought pre-season that they would be a top four side. They're probably a top four certainty now, I would say, even after one game. It's a big call, I know, but from the sides I saw on the weekend, other than Western Bulldogs, they were the side that really caught my eye. And I've watched them pretty closely, as I always do with the Hawthorn opponents, but
they looked more ready than I thought they would be in round one.
Well,
I thought it would take them a while to gel, and no, they looked the finished article.
Basically the only thing we need to look at here is that last week the Cats beat Hawthorn by more than they're giving to a team that lost to Melbourne.
Yep.
So that's enough for me to take the minus.
Yeah, I just don't know what to do with GWS. I think, again, it's a bit like the Dogs game. If both sides turn up and play the way they did last week, Geelong by plenty.
Yeah.
I still have enough, I'm not sure if it's even hope, almost enough fear that GWS might still be good, and they pissed one away last week.
Oh look, if they kick straight
in the second and third quarters,
they've certainly got the capacity and the talent to be good. They don't play the right style of football. They don't play the team first mentality of football that is required to be successful at this level. It was pointed out, I think, on one of the footy shows the other night, that the forward of centre, they've just got far too many individuals. Mm. And you saw that in the way that they played on the weekend. I mean, Steve Johnson is what Steve Johnson is, but, you know, you've got Devin Smith and all these other guys, Dylan Shiel when he's forward of centre. And if you don't want to be screaming for a handball in their forward 50, because you'll do a lung in before you'll get the ball.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing that worries me about Marnika, and one I was... Had it been Marnika, that's always rainy or windy or something like that. Because on face value, a day game with a low 180s after last week, I would have been steaming into the over, but not at Marnika.
Sweet.
Pretty easy lay down for me. We move to the second of the Sunday afternoon games, and we're at the MCG for Hawthorn and West Coast. Hawks getting points in Melbourne. It's a pretty rare occurrence, but they're getting 2.5 here, total points line, low 190s.
Yeah, look, I let it slip there a moment ago. They really struggled last week with their inclusions. So, yes, they do have blokes out missing, and you know we still expect them to be a force later on in the year. But the blokes that have come in for the guys that are out just weren't up to it. Sicily and these sorts
blokes,
of guys,
22-30 essentially on the list.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, really disappointing performances from show and makers and those sorts of guys. Mm. Like that showed really good signs last year that they were ready to take that next step. Mm. And they were just all at sea. So look, I expect them to come back. Yeah, I mean, Clarkson teams never take things lightly, especially a loss. They always come out and perform well the next week. But
Hodge out hurts, doesn't it?
It does as well. I mean, that's just another one to the list. You know, there's blokes that can come in and replace him. His organisational skills with the younger, less experienced team is probably something that you can't quantify as a loss. But the bottom line is, West Coast are going to be out for revenge, and they were unstoppable last week on attack. And that's where we're probably a bit skinny at the moment, with blokes having to, you know, spend more time there than maybe through the midfield or whatever else. So, look, I expect West Coast to win. I expect West Coast to win this game. I'll be very pleasantly surprised if they don't, but I can't bet into the Hawks. I can't, yuck. I don't want to talk about it.
I couldn't find a line bet because Hawthorn as home dogs happen so rarely that they make fools of it.
You haven't got any stats? Or...
Three Norders home dogs, including a grand final, where I steamed into the Hawks at the plus, and they had it done by about 10 minutes into the second quarter.
Yeah.
That was a great day. I don't even like the Hawks.
Come on.
The one bet I have found here is the over. Both sides tend to go towards the over in the day, and I think for all the reasons he outlined, I don't think Hawthorn can stop West Coast scoring. And if they want to win the game, and they'll bloody want to win the game, they're going to have to try and match motors on points.
Yeah, that's a really good call, actually. I didn't spend a great deal of time looking at that because I was just discussing
They can't win 85-75. I just don't see it. With what the cattle they've got, they're probably going to concede triple figures, which means they have to score that themselves.
And that's what happened on the weekend as well. That's just the way it's going to be.
Which will make it a fantastic game to watch.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hopefully a good game to have the over.
Yeah.
Because that's what I'll be taking.
I can't cheer for girls getting kicked against Hawthorn either, so I'm just going to shut up.
Fair enough. We move to the last game of the weekend, and it's Sunday twilight. We're back at the Docklands, Etihad Stadium, for Carlton versus Sydney. Blues getting about 6 goals, total points line around the 180 mark.
Yeah, probably not enough points for the Blues there, I don't think. Regardless of where it's being played, again, the Swans were really, really good last week. I've seen more of it now than I had. I spent a bit of time watching watching some of the replays, etc. And their midfield was really, really strong. Strong contested football, as they generally are. But they also got the ball on the outside as well. Found a couple of new guys that have come in for some of their older, more experienced guys, the Packleys and of the world. You know, really took the competition by storm, I suppose, in their first game.
Imagine if they kicked straight.
Oh,
they kicked pretty terribly and still finished 130.
I wish they had have kicked straight. I would have loved to have seen Collingwood get beaten by 150 points.
Actually, no, I'm glad they didn't kick straight because it meant I could get Richmond -7.5. if Collingwood had lost by 20 goals, we might have been 17.5 and I might not have had a bet there.
Yeah, look, Swans were really, really good. Kicking hopefully won't be as much of an issue under the lid. So if they create 40 opportunities as they did last week, they'll win by 100 points. So I'm happy to lay 6 goals.
Yeah, if I had to bet, I'd be Sydney minus, but I haven't had one here. I'm only sort of thinking in my mind is 6 goals in Melbourne is worth 7.5-8 goals at a neutral venue, which is worth 9-10 goals in Sydney. And if they're playing at the SCG and this line was 56.5, I don't think I'd be stepping in.
I probably would, to be honest. I think Carlton are that poor relative to what Sydney can bring on them. Yeah.
But I certainly have absolutely no desire to have the plus here and then just sit there cursing a team I hate throughout the afternoon. So it's a pretty easy walk away for me. So that gives me a total of 4 for this weekend. I've got Richmond at the minus and the over in the Friday night game, Fremantle at the minus Saturday night, and the over in the Hawthorn West Coast game.
Yeah, well, I've found 5. I've got the overs in the Tigers Magpies on Friday night.
Overs or unders?
Unders, sorry. Absolutely. You've stitched me up there. I've stitched myself up. Unders. And that's going to salute because you've gone over, so that'll be nice. And then just the faves from there on in. D's at the minus, Dogs at the minus, Cats at the minus, and the Swans at the minus to round it out.
West Coast at the minus?
No.
Oh, that's where
you
just
said. That
you thought West Coast would win and win well, but you actually don't want to step into them.
Yeah, oh, look, that's a no-brainer. People out there should absolutely be betting that game. I won't be, but mate, they'll shit it in.
There we go. A total of 9 this week, folks. Good luck and good punting to you.